Gather round, take a seat, relax. It's the Verbringen with Rabbi Levi Avtzon, right here on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtzon of Linksfield Shul, and here we are live on this very, very special day of the 3rd of Tammuz, this Tuesday, the 3rd of Tammuz in the Hebrew calendar, which today the Jewish world commemorates 30 years of the passing of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the 30th year outside the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a very, very powerful day. The music that we chose for today's show is all songs that were very dear to the Rebbe's heart, that he shared, that were taught, that were composed by him, or that he shared forward, or composed in his honor. As you'll see, the first song we just played was Avram Fried and Shuli Rand singing Samalacha Anim Zmirot, which we all know from the Shabbos morning prayer service, a beautiful melody. And what I hope to explore with you over the next plus minus an hour is some of the ideas of the Lubavitcher Rebbe that I really believe if we are to implement them in our lives, we would see the most incredible transformation. Because as much as on a yard site, on the day of a passing, we commemorate an individual, much more so we commemorate their deeds, their actions, and their thoughts, their perspective, maisa v'tairasa, their actions and their Torah, what they taught. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe is often more known for what he did than for what he taught, which is unfortunate in a way, because the Rebbe wasn't just a doer. He was as much, if not more so, a teacher. Way over 10,000 hours of documented audio, video, and writings of the conversations, the teachings he would share. So many people, where do they meet Chabad? They meet Chabad when they're traveling to Europe and they need a place to stay, just a place to eat. Just this week, I got someone who's traveling to Amsterdam and someone who's traveling to Rome reaching out to me, and someone that's reaching out, traveling to Greece and South America in the last few weeks. People reaching out and saying, okay, where am I going to have a Shabbos meal? And often when people think of Chabad, they think of, okay, the global Jewish food network that makes sure that you have food wherever you want. And while that is true or partially true, that's not the underlying idea. We don't have a passion for serving food. That's as much as we have, the Chabad has a passion for helping their fellow. And the question is why? What's the underlying ideology? Often when we meet an individual that practices a certain behavior, we don't ask what's the underlying ideology. We just see the behavior. But every Jewish stream, every derech, every way within Judaism, you could focus on the external, the dress code, the customs, and you'll understand a very small sliver of their identity because you're only seeing the manifestation. But if you truly want to understand an individual, a movement, you have to understand the underlying ideas. And that part of the Rebbe's ideas, while they are quite known, they're not nearly as known as I believe they should be. And I talk this from a personal angle, although now I live in South Africa, proudly part of this community. I grew up in Crown Heights. I grew up in Brooklyn. I grew up literally by the Rebbe's feet, although I was quite young at his passing, but I had enough years to have strong formative memories. But my father, my late father, ran an organization whose sole task was to bring the Rebbe's teaching out into the English-speaking world. It was an organization that had a name called Sichos in English, S-I-E. And literally the reason it was called Sichos in English, they didn't have a big board meeting to figure out their name. The Rebbe's talks were called Sichot. That's the name that were given to them. So Sichos in English, because their job was, they started in the late 70s, and their task was to bring the Rebbe's teachings to the English-speaking crowd. So from the youngest age, growing up with my father and seeing his 24/7 commitment to bring the Rebbe's teachings into English, I developed an understanding that at the heart of the Lubavitch Rebbe was his teachings. And only when a person really delves into understanding the Rebbe's perspectives on things can they really understand so much of the actions, the outcomes, the impact. Because often people will reference and they'll say, why did the Rebbe do this? Or why does Chabad do this? And why does Chabad do this? And they often want this very superficial answer. But the truth is, there was never anything superficial, but rather it was a very intentional perspective of the Rebbe to everything. I was actually listening to a talk earlier today by this wonderful Rabbi Ashkenazi. He lives in Israel. And he said he was thinking about it a few days ago, how to express the Rebbe's worldview or like how to really understand Lubavitch Rebbe in the best way possible. And he says, I came up with the words that says, the Rebbe took life very seriously. Not sadly, not intensely, very seriously. Life was very serious. And I thought that was an interesting way of expressing it, that for the Rebbe, life was meaningful, very, very serious. It's like if you woke up this morning, there is serious intentionality from God for you for this day. Nothing's random. You didn't just wake up today because you went to sleep last night. You woke up today because God wants something from you. And time is meaningful, and your talents are meaningful. If God gave you a talent, he wants you to use it in the right way. God gave you an idea, he wants you to impact it the right way. God gave you opportunities. You live in a certain place. You have a specific job. To see everything through the prism of, it's by divine design, and it's serious. Life is not a joke. It's not eat, sleep, be merry, be successful, take over the world, work hard so you can afford a Mercedes, and or even be a nice, sweet, passionate Jew and just do your thing. And, you know, la, la, la. For the Rebbe, life was serious. And it was a level of seriousness that most people, at least I for myself, cannot even aspire for. It was like the Rebbe never took a day of vacation from at least when he arrived in the United States in 1940 till his passing in 1992, never took a day of vacation. There's literally diaries that document every single day of his 50 years. Like, the man did not take a vacation. He didn't sleep much. He didn't eat much. His days were packed. And the truth is, many other people who grew up in his environment didn't get to sleep or eat much either because he was so demanding. His secretaries and many of the people who spent time around him and try to like give you an example. Let's say it's a Yom Tov. Let's say it's a Jewish holiday. So the Rebbe would forbring often multiple times on a single Yom Tov. For example, Sukkot, the Rebbe could forbring every single night, sometimes by day as well, then encourage all his students to go out and do outreach. So go shake lulav with people on the street. And then they come back, and then there's another talk, and then there's an expectation to dance for many hours of the night, if not the whole night. Like, I remember growing up, and like on Sukkot, you're like desperate for sleep because, what do you mean? There's no time. There's so much expectation, but not expectation out of guilt, but like this, guys, do you realize you're living in a powerful time? It's Sukkot now. It's Rosh Hashanah now. What do you mean you're going to sit there taking a nap on Rosh Hashanah? You have to go blow shofar for people who didn't hear shofar. Then the rest of the time, say Tehillim. Then come and hear the Rebbe talk for many, many hours at the end of Rosh Hashanah. Etc. There was like life was full because life is intended to be full. Life's intended to be full because life is serious. Life is a gift that God gives us for X amount of years, hopefully a long 120 years for all of us. But that time has to be full. It's not just, oh, so how are we going to kill this Sunday? You have time. Study, reach out to somebody. Rejuvenate yourself, but with intention. of getting more energy so that you can play your part more. But everything is incredible amount of intentionality. Everything is meaningful. Everything is purposeful. Everything is powerful. And when a person lives like that, you might say it's intense, but it's not. Intense is this anxiety-provoking word. It's not about intensity. It's about, it's real. Life is not a joke. God sends us down here to this world, gives our soul a body so that we can play a part over here. And for the Rebbe, that was front and center of his worldview. And he tried, through his teachings and through his encouragement, to build an army of people, to build a nation who saw things that way, who realized chateife chol chateife shti, grab and eat, grab and drink in a spiritual sense. In other words, you're living in consequential times. We're living in times of transformation. We're living in historical times. Go transform. Go do something with that energy. Don't just sit on your laurels. Don't just chill through life. Don't spend your whole life dreaming when you could go on holiday. Go on holiday, but the intention of holiday is to come back to the world, not the intention of the whole year is to go on holiday. Such a backwards way of thinking. Because life is serious, and life is meaningful. This is 101.9 Chai FM, and we're about to play for you a song actually sung by the Rebbe himself, together with the crowd around him. It's probably the most famous song of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Tzama Lecha Nafshi, My Heart Desires for You. Interesting, just before I play the song, the late Chief Rabbi Sachs was once asked what he wants on his epitaph, what he wants on his grave. And if actually, if you go to his grave, you see a picture of his grave, it's on his grave. And those were the three words, Tzama Lecha Nafshi, My Soul Yearns for God. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 Chai FM.
This is 101.9 Chai FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Avtson of Linksfield Shul, and here we are on this Gimel Tammuz, the third of Tammuz, and we're Fabringen. We're talking and we're trying to inspire ourselves on this special day, an auspicious day, on the 30th Yahrzeit Lubavitcher Rebbe, and talking about some of his life-transformative ideas that can truly change a person's life if they're willing, if they allow the ideas to transform. And talking about ideas that transform, one of the ways I once heard it described is the Rebbe didn't teach you what to think as much as he taught you how to think. In other words, he gave you a framework of a value system through which to think through things. And therefore, literally is able to outlive the physical life here in this world. Although the Rebbe's passed 30 years ago, many people who cherish him and what he stood for will say that the Rebbe's very present in their life, and they're one of the ways they're referring to that is because his ideas are timeless and his ideas are so adaptable. In other words, they're so written for today, even though they were shared 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, because the value system that he introduced or that he built up so beautifully is timeless. You know, a lot of people write great books, and at their time, they have value. But 20, 30 years later, people feel they're quaint. With the Rebbe's teachings, if you've ever opened the book, I would encourage you to go to Chabad.org, the website, and there's an incredible amount of content there as well. What you'll see is that his teachings, although said and written a long time ago, decades ago, are timeless because they were true and because they were not only written for their time, they were written with a deep understanding of where the world was and where the world is going to. And often when I'm feeling unanchored in my world, when I feel like the world is literally stressing me out, I fall back on those ideas, or I'll go and explore those ideas. I'll go learn an essay. I'll try to freshen up. You know, a lot of us get very tired of this world. We get cynical about this world, especially when you see the world that you don't have to be following the news to know that the world has gone a bit bonkers the last few years. it's gone a bit crazy. And the issue is, how do you anchor yourself in that time rather than become the problem? Because a big issue of the chaos in the world today is people are unanchored. In other words, it's manifesting in chaos, but fundamentally, people don't have a value. People don't know what they're standing for. Like, I remember hearing it expressed once, in World War II, the enemy was very clear, the Nazis. But it was also very clear who the other side was, who we were. We knew what we're standing for. We knew we were standing for freedom and democracy and the side of good and the side of human rights. But that is not so clear today. Most people cannot even know who the enemy is, although it's very clear that there are enemies, right? Some people will say the enemy is radical Islam, and other people will say the enemy is China. Some people say the enemy is the West itself. What values are good? What values are bad? You go to universities and you start hearing that, you know, the Palestinians are the Hamas is saints and Israel is the devil. So there is this absolute lack of clarity of what is right and what is wrong, what is on which side is justice and which side is not. So that it that manifests into chaos. But the chaos is not the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is a lack of clarity, lack of moral clarity. And the manifestation of that, the way it plays out, is chaos. So therefore, the way we can address the chaos out there is by anchoring ourselves in solid values, by thinking through things, because otherwise the chaos will take us as well. So many of us have fallen into the chaos over the last few years. So many people have fallen down rabbit holes of conspiracy theories, of extreme politics, extreme right politics, extreme left politics, very binary ways of seeing reality. In other words, like, I'm right, you're wrong, no nuance in their thought, etc. And that is the manifestation of a world that's losing its anchor. Because when people don't have strong values, then they look for simplistic, feel-good explanations of what's going on, right? That's why anti-Semitism always goes up when the world is chaos, because it's a great narrative to sit there saying, OMG, it's the Jews' fault. Like, you, as much as people say, I can't believe anti-Semitism has risen, I'm sure there's many reasons for it, but one of the main reasons is because the world is chaos, and the Jew is the ultimate scapegoat. Always explain, it's a great explanation why things are going wrong, it's those Jews. So how do you counter that? How do you counter this chaos? You counter this chaos by making sure you're not part of the problem, by figuring out your own values. And that's why it's so important that we figure out our values, that we understand who we are, what we stand for. The world isn't random. We're not just here by mistake. There's deep significance and meaning to everything. So the best antidote we have right now to the chaos outside us is to build ourselves in, to make deeper roots. And one of the ways of building the deeper roots is by letting the teachings of the Rebbe anchor you. A perfect example is one of my favorite topics is living here in South Africa, right? Almost every South African Jew knows about the promise that the Rebbe gave that South Africa will be good. Now, people sit there debating what it means good. Does good mean perfect? I don't think good means perfect. I think it means it exceeds our expectations, and it's still a great place to raise our kids. And I believe it's played out, even through very difficult moments and moments of despair when people looked at me in the eye and said, Rabbi, you're hallucinating. You're an idiot. Why would you fly over here? Why you from America are coming here? And after watching the debate 2 weeks ago, I'm thinking to myself and saying, yeah, South Africa seems pretty normal in comparison. But that vindication that I'm personally feeling now, it's not my vindication. I think it's a vindication of the Rebbe's promise. The Rebbe had this deep, call it intuition, call it wisdom, call it spiritual powers, whatever you want, that South Africa is a good place for the Jewish people. It's a good place for humanity. The people over here are good, and things will work out. And I think it's played out. We've had the best case results out of this election that nobody dreamed of 5 years ago. Nobody. Although many of us are still kvetching because it's not Garden of Eden. That's a topic of another time. We don't live here in the Garden of Eden. We live in a very imperfect world. But the point is, why were so many people able to anchor themselves? Why is the Chabad community in the Torah Academy area the fastest growing young community in the country? Because so many people are staying. Yes, I'm sure they have dynamic leadership, etc. But fundamentally, most of the young community doesn't go anywhere. Why? Because they believe this place is good. And many of them are building beautiful lives for themselves and building careers, etc. But it starts from the ideology that says you are where you're supposed to be. If God wanted you to live elsewhere, he would have placed you elsewhere. Yes, sometimes you have to leave. I myself left New York. My heart told me that New York's not for me. Had an opportunity. Actually, I didn't have an opportunity. I just got married to a South African and used that as an opportunity to move without any options. So once in a while, yes, you follow your heart. But at some stage, once your heart takes you where you need to go, you don't live with doubt. You live with certainty. And that's another incredible idea that the Rebbe, it wasn't his idea, but he manifested it and taught it and encouraged it and brought it out, fleshed it out so beautifully that you are where you need to be. Hashem mitzadei gever kainanu is a verse that says Hashem guides the steps of man. You are where you need to be. You are exactly here. Here we are on this day, right? The 9th of July, 2024. And you are where you need to be in the relationship that you need to be in at this moment, in the role you need to be, with the people you need to be, with the health you have, etc. It's by design. One of those stories that stick out to me often is, it wasn't a once-off story. People would reach out to Rebbe and say, I'm in the hospital, I have a medical condition. And Rebbe would say, no, that's not why you're in the hospital. You're in the hospital because God needs you there. You have a mission to do there. And once you finish your mission, hopefully you'll get out. You don't end up in the hospital because you had a kidney issue. Hashem used your kidney to get you to the hospital so that you could play a part. You can impact somebody. You could go through a journey within yourself, a realization, an aha moment, whatever it is. But everything is by design. Again, life is serious. Life is intentional. Life is beautiful. There is meaning to everything. Right? The first Chabad Rebbe, the famous Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, he one time told a student, he said, stop asking me for what you need and ask me what you need, what you're needed for. That's how we have to live. Not what you need. I need this and I need this and I want this and I want that. Right? That's what we tell our kids to dream. What do you dream of? What do you want to be when you're older? But the true question is, what does God want of you? God sent you to this world. He gave your parents the miracle of birth. None of us are just born randomly. There was intention, right? So many people struggle to have kids. Having kids is a miracle. Everyone that's ever had a child knows the miracle. So you are a miracle. You were placed here by a miracle. The fact that you woke up today is another miracle, because every day we wake up is a miracle. What's the meaning? What are you needed for? Why does Hashem need you here? Right? We often tell people, go out and change the world. The Rebbe wouldn't say that. The Rebbe wouldn't say, go change the world. The Rebbe would say, go change your world. Where are you? You're living here in Joburg, in Cape Town? Or wherever else you're listening to the radio show now? Go change your world right there. You, your family, your community, the people around you, that's your corner. And when you impact your corner, you are changing the world. The butterfly effect, you are changing the world. But don't go out with this grandiose, I'm here to change 8 billion people. None of us are here to change 8 billion people. We're here to play our part with our whole heart and to do it with joy, which is another theme I want to explore.
This is the Fabringen with Rabbi Levi Avtson on 101.9 High FM.
This is 101.9 High FM. My name is Rabbi Levi Yatsen, and here we are in this Gimel Tammuz, the third of Tammuz, and we are for bringing about Lubavitcher Rebbe's Yard Site, exploring, unpacking some of his life-transforming ideas. It's ideas that really change us more than anything else, I guess, other than changing our habits, but underlying that is also ideas. So let's explore another idea that obviously we're dabbling today. We're just like sitting at a smorgasbord. We're sticking our fingers into various ideas rather than fully fleshing out one. We could flesh them out in coming segments. So let's flesh out the segment of joy, this idea of joy, or at least dabble in it. Simcha. Simcha is not just a nice nugget of life. It's not just like a nice bonus to live with joy. It is a natural outcome when somebody has a life that's meaningful. When someone realizes, Ashreinu, as we say each morning in the morning prayer, Ashreinu, how lucky I am to be in this life, to be part of this journey, to be part of this nation. Ashreinu, when I feel that, when I internalize it, of course it leads to joy. Think about the stuff that leads us to joy. What leads us to joy? It's when we know and feel such clarity, when we feel blessed, right? Your child got engaged, you found the person you're supposed to spend the rest of your life with, you had a baby, you got a promotion in your job, and you feel like you're now on the road where you need to go, all that stuff. That is the same as living a life of intention. When you know that Hashem placed you, God placed you exactly where you need to be, and you know that your life is exactly what was designed for you, and all you have to do is show up, then you show up with joy because, what do you mean? How lucky I am. How lucky I am to be here. Life is a gift. Yes, life is challenging, but life is a gift. And when a person lives with that gratitude, that leads to simcha. When somebody realizes how lucky I am to be here, how lucky I am to be part of this, to be on this journey called life, right? So many people feel that life is a burden. It's oi, it's hard. But the truth is, the famous expression, replace the oi with joy, it's true. Stop, like so many of us are walking around, life is so hard, it's so hectic, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm not coping, it's chaos, can you believe it? OMG, what's happened to our world? Tell me you haven't uttered that a million times in the last while, or heard it, or both. We all have. But what a miserable way to live, just feeling self-pity. Feeling miserable, feeling like life isn't, this is not what we signed up for. We signed up for some lovely walk on the beach that's not contaminated, that's not polluted. No! We signed up to live a life of meaning, as the Talmud tells us, and it's the first line of the great book, the Tanya, who quotes this piece of Talmud from the Tractate of Nida that says, before we're born, we have this meeting with an angel, and the angel makes us promise, mashbimosa, they make us promise, tihit tzaddik, be righteous, al tirasha, don't do evil. In other words, don't become a person that manifests evil, become a person that manifests righteousness. And not only do they make us swear, but the word mashbiyin also can mean they fill us up, mashbiyin, literally savea, they fill us up, they give us all the capacity we need to be able to live a life of intention, a life of meaning. We have it all within us. And our soul signed up for this life. This is not a mistake. We're not living in a fluke. It's not a malfunction in the system. This is the world we were sent down to, because this is the world that only us can manifest, that only us can transform. We were born at this time of history because our souls were formed for this time of history. And that's another great idea that the Rebbe would manifest this. He wouldn't harp only on the good old days and how amazing people used to be. He would say, no, you are amazing. You might feel very average compared to other people who lived before. And maybe they achieved spiritual heights that you can never achieve, but that was their journey. And then there's your journey. Right? Most Jewish thinkers throughout history, they developed their thoughts while living in the old country. The Rebbe, although he was born in the old country, he became a Rebbe 10 years after living in America. And I was watching this talk from this incredible rabbi. He's a rabbi of the Eish Kodesh, Rabbi Weinberger, in America. And a very wise fellow. Not a Chabad follower, but he a big admirer. And he says, when I met the Rebbe, I felt like the Rebbe understood an American boy more than me, an American-born boy myself. In other words, the Rebbe's worldview was appreciating people where they're at, not only telling them, feel guilty for what you're not. Oh, the people in the old country were so pious, right? And they didn't even have sanitation in their house. Lovely, that was their journey. But that's not who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people who do have sanitation and people who do are living in the modern world. And instead of telling them the whole time what they should be, tell them what they could be. There's some things that we'll never be because that's not our story. That's not where we come from. But what we could be is unbelievable. Each and every one of us can be transformers in this world. We have infinite godly power in our soul. Chelek Elokam Imal Mamash. It's literally a piece of God. We are a part of God and we have God's infinity within us. That means we have access to infinity. That means we are only limited by our own self-imposed limitations. We can transcend the greatest heights of spirituality. We can transcend anything we went through in life. We have incredible power. We are never a victim. We're always empowered. The Rebbe objectively had a very difficult life. Never had any children. Lost many family members in the Holocaust. His father was killed by the communists. His brother was killed by the Nazis. His only last surviving brother died at a very young age. Wealth he definitely didn't have. He had a simple house. But any video you'll see of the Rebbe, unless he's crying about the pain of a fellow Jew, he's dancing. He's joyous. Why? Because the Rebbe understood life's not here to have fun, but life's deeply meaningful. And that life, when lived with intention and serious, in other words, when we respect this gift called life, and how can we be miserable? How grateful are we to be in this world? So that's really the message I want to leave you with on this Gimel Tammuz, on this Yahrzeit of the Rebbe. Honor the Rebbe by honoring his legacy, by honoring his ideas, by implementing them. The greatest impact the Rebbe can have is when we allow his ideas to transform our lives. It's not about honoring him, it's about honoring those ideas so that the Rebbe's mission, which was transform this world and bring the Mashiach, bring the Messianic redemption, bring this world to its intended purpose of revelation and redemption, that is the greatest gift that you can not only give to him, that you can give to yourself, that you can give to the world. Live a life of intention, live a life of meaning, live a life of joy. As this final melody that I want to share with you, just as we're signing off, this song that was composed in honor of the Rebbe, he had a heart attack in 1977, and he recovered, and a few years later, this song, which is known all over the world, it became actually the anthem of the Chabad outreach movement, the Shlichut movement, Rosh Chodesh Kislev Nigun, will truly manifest. That's why I chose this song to finish off the show, because I want to leave you with joy. I want to leave you with empowerment. I want to leave you with this deep knowledge that we truly are here to transform ourselves, the world around us, and through that, no question about it, we will change the world. Wishing you a great day.